Guys, I'm just going to sit here and say it. You better pull up a chair. You better pull up a chair for this episode because you're not going to want to, you know, try to miss what I have to say on a lot going on around the league. It has been an active and a very busy, you know, free agency so far, even though free agency starts next week. And it's been a very busy, you know, road to the 2024 NFL draft with the combine. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to get into the draft, but I'm just going to kick it off with this. Just get right into it. It is a action-packed league right now. The new league year is next week, and we're already seeing some moves being made. And you're not going to want to miss up what I have to say about it because I'm going to have, you know, a bit to say about it, especially in the Denver, Colorado area. With that being said, welcome to Pigskin Frenzy on this wonderful and now chilly Thursday afternoon. Tuesday was a lot different than this. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joel Norris. And whether you're watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify, listening on Podbean, listening on Apple, a big thank you for taking some time out of your Thursday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some NFL coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. Instagram, X, and Facebook, we're on there. Guys, all you have to do is type in Pigskin Frenzy, follow, like each page. You will get episode updates and news and highlights from across college and NFL football. On X, you will get Instagram trivia question stories on there. Go and answer today's NFL one, as well as all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. And do not forget about the website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. Go and check out all the latest things on there. You know, eventually we will get the shop running. Yeah, check out the latest, I'll give you an update on that eventually. We will talk about that here in the near future, but leave messages, see a home and about me page on the website. Just check it out, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. You can also click on all the platforms to which you can listen on, and it will take you to that platform. Also, we would like to thank our partners at the Beard Club. Guys, if you have a beard or, you know, trim need or a grooming need, if you want it to be met, go to the Beard Club now. Just type in thebeardclub.com right now and shop there. Get all your Beard Club needs met. We will have an announcement about a link to that coming up here, hopefully within next Tuesday's, this coming up Tuesday's episode of Pigskin Frenzy, episode 105 of Pigskin Frenzy. We will have that. But right now, I'm just announcing it. Beard Club, we'd like to thank our new partners at the Beard Club for, you know, partnering up with Pigskin Frenzy, and we'd like to thank them for all that they do to meet men's needs with grooming and facial hair needs are being met. So thank you to the Beard Club, and shout out to them for being our partner here at Pigskin Frenzy. Now let's talk about NFL football. NFL day today, a lot going on in free agency. We're going to get down to it. We're going to talk about, you know, a lot of things that happened this past weekend's NFL Combine, the workouts. Last week, we talked about the interview portion of it. We're going to talk about the Combine portion of it, the workout portion of it, especially with the wide receivers, because that caught my eye, and we're going to discuss that. We're also going to talk about the latest prospects, and after the Combine for the draft, who's moved up and who's moved down, technically. That's the latest on the NFL prospects for the NFL draft. Guys, subscribe to this channel on YouTube. Keep liking it on Pigskin Frenzy. Keep plugging in on all platforms because we want to hear from you. And guys, I want to hear from you. I want to see, hey, this show may not be you're interesting. Tell me how to make it more interesting. Guys, if it is interesting, thank you. Keep plugging in. I want to hear from you guys. I want to talk football with you all. And I want to, you know, interact with each and every one of you guys. So Pigskin Frenzy, just keep plugging in on all platforms, social media-wise and audio and video-wise for the podcast. So let's get right down into it. Let's talk about free agency. And free agency, it's that time of year where the new league year begins. So the 2024 season is beginning next Wednesday. And, technically now it's coming up Wednesday. So next week is when the league year begins. But it's interesting. A lot of it's interesting because of, you know, what's going on around the league. And a lot of moves have been made since we last talked here on NFL Thursday for a week. A lot of moves have been made. And we're going to get down to it, especially in Denver, Colorado. I have a few things to say about that. We're going to talk about, you know, everything going on, especially what's going on in Buffalo right now. A lot of stuff's happening in Buffalo since yesterday. Yesterday, the Bills have signed free agent quarterback Mitchell Trubisky. The Steelers have released him. The Bills are trying to, you know, get another backup quarterback in, and their reunion is now in play. A reunion between Buffalo and Mitchell Trubisky is now in play. He will be the backup quarterback to Josh Allen in Buffalo. So, when you look, you know, when you look at everything, and when you look at everything with Buffalo's doing, because there's some moves being made, not just with Mitchell Trubisky, it's all about the cap space being saved. The cap space being saved, is quite substantial. And let me tell you why. They just released Jordan Poyer. They also just released Tre'Davious White, two big names in the secondary. What makes it confusing for me is you release two good key areas of your secondary, and now they're gone. So who's going to replace that? Now you got Taylor Rapp. They reconstruct, and they sign Taylor Rapp to a new deal, so Taylor Rapp's staying on board. But besides that, who could be your starters in the secondary, you know, now that Tre'Davious White and Jordan Poyer are both gone? So when you look at those moves, it's kind of questionable. But at the same time, if you're trying to save up cap space, I understand that. They reconstruct for the sake of cap space. They reconstructed Von Miller's deal. So he's going to maybe make an $8.8 million per year, which could rise up to $20 million. So Von Miller has a reconstructed deal, and this also saves up cap space for the Buffalo Bills. A lot of moves being made for the Buffalo Bills. The Seahawks also have made some moves for free agency, because we have three new free agencies. Tight end Will Kissley, safety Quandre Diggs, and safety Jamal Adams. All three have been released from the Seattle Seahawks. That saves Seattle a bunch of cap space. And the good thing is, listen, saving cap space when it comes to free agency is good. You need to save cap space, because if you want to utilize all assets of your team and to sign on new guys and to, you know, have enough cap space for your season, yes, you're going to need to try to get rid of some of those hefty contracts, right? So I understand that. But some of these teams get rid of crucial needs because of that. And that is what the hard part about the NFL is. It really is. It's really hard, honestly. So, you know, they're all free agencies up in Seattle. Xavier Howard from the Dolphins is a free agent. You got a lot of guys who were, you know, Jonnu Smith from the Falcons. He was released. He's a free agent, and he met with the Miami Dolphins the other day. There's a lot of stuff going on in the league when it comes to releases and signees and what's going on there. Let's get to the franchise tags really quick, and these are some key conversations that we can have here about, you know, free agency and what's going on here. Franchise tags. They franchise tagged edge rusher Brian Burns. He was about to get franchise tagged. Contract halts have come to a complete stop, but Brian Burns, the edge rusher out of the Carolina Panthers, has been franchise tagged. So, but when you look at the deadline for the franchise tag, you know, you never know. There's a franchise tag deadline. You never know. Brian Burns could be traded. You never know what happens. Contract talks have been stalled for the time being, which is something you don't want with Brian Burns. He is an underrated edge rusher in the NFL, so it's something that you don't really want. And when you look at going on, you know, a lot of stuff going on in the league, that's kind of what you see around the league. A lot of franchise tags and some stuff that you do not want. Brian Burns, one of them. You don't want Brian Burns to go if you're Carolina. Another franchise tag that happened was Legarius Sneed in a potentially tag and trade kind of deal. Legarius Sneed's been franchise tagged, and it's a non-exclusive franchise tag, which means he's available. A non-exclusive franchise tag means he is available to any team, but he's still with the Chiefs, if that makes sense. So it's like he's a free agent, but if he signs with any other team and another team offers him, the Chiefs have the right to match that offer that that the other team presented to Legarius Sneed. And if they don't offer, if they don't match that offer, Legarius Sneed can sign with another team and he's out of Kansas City. So Legarius Sneed going on with that. That's another franchise tag there. A lot of key franchise tags that are not happening. Like I said, Austin Eckler, he's not getting franchise tagged. Josh Jacobs is not getting franchise tagged. Tony Pollard is not getting franchise tagged, but he is willing to go back to the Dallas Cowboys. And a lot of others are not getting franchise tagged. And here's one franchise tag before we move on to more free agency and before, you know, we talk about more free agency talks here. One franchise tag that I want to take a little bit of time on is Saquon Barkley. He was reported back in Monday, Tuesday, that the Giants will not be tagging for Saquon Barkley and he will be a free agent. I'm going to be real. This is the last we've seen of Saquon Barkley in a Giants uniform. Just going to keep it $150 with you. It is the last time we will see Barkley in a Giants uniform. I warned everybody that this was coming. I warned it last year. You can call me the Magic Man. I said this was going to happen last year. Go back and listen to the offseason last year, Pigskin Frenzy, when I said that they need to focus, and it was going to be a problem, they need to focus on Saquon Barkley first, make him top priority one. Yes, Daniel Jones, solid quarterback, but he is not the top priority of that offense. Saquon Barkley is. I'm just keeping it real. Daniel Jones is a priority for sure. He's their starting quarterback, but it's not like Saquon. You know what I mean? You can't expect to pay Daniel Jones all that money and then, you know, not pay Saquon anything, because the Giants didn't pay Saquon anything. They're not paying him what he's worth. And I said that was going to happen. Then the holdout happened. Then he signed a franchise tag for the 2023 season. He played the rest of the year. The Giants didn't make the playoffs. He was done. They came close to making the playoffs if some of those other games would have gone in their favor. The Giants ended up going to the offseason. Saquon Barkley was going to be a free agent anyway, and he's a free agent now for the first time without no restrictions. He's an unrestricted free agent for the first time, and he's free to sign anywhere he wants. Some teams that I've been hearing as of note and some of the messages I've been getting from across, you know, from the experts or across the league, I hear that the Texans are quite an option. I don't think that teams are prepared to get Saquon Barkley at, you know, there, right? Saquon Barkley there. They're not prepared to get that going on there in Houston. Another one is what I've been hearing is the Patriots. I've been hearing the Patriots. I've been hearing the Chicago Bears. If they end up drafting Caleb Williams, that could be a good sign of help for Caleb Williams. You get the Pats, like I said, the Bears. Another one I've been hearing is the Raiders. The Raiders are interested in Saquon Barkley as well. The Texans, Raiders, Bears, Pats, a lot of those guys, that would be interesting. Quite a few interesting teams there, you know, for Saquon Barkley services. And it may work out. It may work out. I don't know. I've been hearing a little bit about the Chargers as well. I mean, it's Saquon Barkley is a hot commodity. He is the top running back in free agency. When healthy, Saquon Barkley is an elite running back. No questions asked. He's up there with Christian McCaffrey at being a solid running back. And he is. There's no question about it. He is a solid back, and he is, you know, he deserves to get paid what he's worth. I warned that this was coming, and now it has happened. I do not think he will be back at the Giants. I think he will sign with another team this offseason, and he'll be playing somewhere else this coming up season. Another interesting one, or two more interesting running backs in this market, because we got a hot running back market. Like the names I just mentioned, another running back that's interesting is Josh Jacobs. He is interested. Him and Barkley and Jacobs are the top two running backs in this, you know, free agency market. Behind them, slightly, is Derrick Henry and Tony Pollard. And DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift's a free agent as well. So when you look at Josh Jacobs and you think about what transpired and what went down in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is another example. They did not pay Josh Jacobs enough to play for them. Josh Jacobs deserves a lot more money than what he is making, right? And he didn't get that. he didn't get, you know, he didn't get that. He didn't get, you know, he just did not get, you know, what he was owed, in my opinion. I think he earned a lot of the money that McCaffrey would make, or, you know, a top running back would make, but they didn't pay him that. He signed, he was going to hold out for a little bit. He signed a franchise tender right before the season started, and he ended up playing for the Las Vegas Raiders this season. Now he's a free agent, and they're not going to franchise tag him. He's a free agent. The Raiders are interested in bringing him back. I think Jacobs is kind of interested, but I think it's just like a Saquon Barkley situation. Pay the man. Just pay these guys. They put their bodies on the line, and they, you know, they sacrifice a lot in their offenses to not get what they're owed. You know what I mean? Running back is a hard and physical position to play in football. College, NFL, high school, you name it, it is a hard and a position to play, and it takes physically hard a position to play, and it takes a toll on you physically. Body, knees, you know, torso, knees, arms, it takes a toll on you, man. It does. So Josh Jacobs needs to earn and needs to get what he's owed. He's earned it. He just needs to get what he's owed and what he needs to be paid, right? So Jacobs is one. Another, and this is one more for the running back area before we move on a little bit to free agency and then talk about the combine and the NFL draft. So let me just go on and talk about Aaron Jones. Is that the situation right now that he's still with the Packers? But it's an interesting note because the Packers do want Aaron Jones and the team, his Aaron Jones' agent and the Green Bay Packers organization. They're trying to come up with a way to where they can all agree to a pay cut to save some calories, to save some salary cap space, right? Again, that word, cap space. Aaron Jones is there right now. There's no deal being set now. They're talking about it, but there's no deal in place yet. But over the next couple of weeks, there's been talk and rumors that he could be released from the Packers organization. And what's so hard about that is Aaron Jones is a solid back. He is, despite his injury woes, I understand, when healthy, Aaron Jones has been a promising running back. A couple of years ago, he was up there with Josh Jacobs, about to become scoring league rusher and scoring champion at running back for the NFL. And Aaron Jones is a solid back. The Packers are not re-signing A.J. Dillon, another running back in the market. A.J. Dillon is a free agent, and he will not be re-signed by the Packers. He will go somewhere else. So if they cut Aaron Jones, they've lost both of their top running backs, and they'll look like they'll need to sign a running back or draft a running back. So let's see what goes down with Aaron Jones. That's an interesting story there in free agency. I think Aaron Jones, you know, deserves to start for a team. I think Aaron Jones is a solid back. The injuries are a little bit concerned, so I can see why the pay cut is you know, being talked about and discussed. But we'll see. Let's see what happens with Aaron Jones, because that's an interesting story coming out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Another one is, let's go out to the defensive side of things for NFL free agency, an update on Chris Jones, an update on, quite frankly, the number one defensive tackle and defensive player in free agency right now. And when you go back to the defensive side of things, they're discussing a long-term deal with him, with Chris Jones. Chris Jones, and this is what I've been hearing, a $27 million plus, will be suffice for him, and that could set the deal straight for between both teams. A long term deal worth $27 million plus and up is what Chris Jones is looking for. So if that is your priority, is to get Chris Jones back, the Chiefs are going to want to try to settle that in that range, in that price range. If they do not do that, there are going to be teams out there that are looking at that and thinking, oh, we may can match that and give Chris Jones what he wants. So let's see what happens with Chris Jones. That's an interesting story there. $27 million plus is the price range for Chris Jones. Will the Chiefs go up to that level? Can they? I think they can. Will they is the real question. Real will they? One more franchise tag really quick. Josh Allen, the edge rusher for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's been franchise tagged by Jacksonville. I said last week that they weren't going to give him up that easy. He's been a solid playmaker for them over the past few years for Jacksonville. He is going to stick around for the 2024 season and been franchise tagged unless the deadline comes and the tag didn't go through and he's gets traded. Who knows? But it's looking like Josh Allen will stay in Jacksonville. A couple of big free agency notes here as we continue on with free agency. Let's talk about Kirk Cousins. Let's go back to the offensive side of things. Talk about Kirk Cousins for a little bit. Kirk Cousins, they're still working on a deal here. Atlanta is in it. Now I can tell you this, guys, now Atlanta Falcons are the favorites to land quarterback Kirk Cousins. The Vikings are interested in bringing him back, but it's not quite the interest that Atlanta has on Kirk Cousins. It's looking like Atlanta could land Kirk Cousins and he could become the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons this coming up season. Kirk Cousins, a solid quarterback, and he was putting up some solid numbers before tearing his Achilles and being out for the rest of the year. But Kirk Cousins, man, solid, solid quarterback, and he could very well end up in a black and red and white uniform in Atlanta in the 2024 season. Another one that's being discussed right now, and this is what a lot of people want, it did happen, but it leads into the next guy I'm going to talk about. Let's talk about Mike Evans for a little bit. Wide receiver Mike Evans has re-signed a $52 million contract for the next 2 years, or I'm sorry, for the next 3 years, with $35 million of it guaranteed. Mike Evans is re-signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers got him. They did not want to let him go that easy. They paid him what he was worth because Mike Evans is an elite receiver. Mike Evans was always interested in re-signing with Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has always treated him with respect and really, really liked him and really, really, you know, well. Mike Evans, vice versa, has treated Tampa Bay really well and has always liked Tampa Bay. They won a Super Bowl together. Mike Evans is a Super Bowl champion with Tampa Bay. But being in contention is key for him. And Tampa Bay was in contention last season. So that adds on an extra thing for the Tampa Bay. Not only that, they were willing to give him the money that he wanted. He's gotten the money that he's wanted. Now, Mike Evans is ready to get back to work. He posted on Instagram, "Fire them cannons," while wearing the retro Tampa Bay creamsicle jerseys. Mike Evans is back with Tampa Bay, re-signed to a new deal, and he will be playing with the Buccaneers for the 2024 season and beyond. Good pickup there by the Buccaneers, which leads to what I'm going to talk about now. Baker Mayfield and the talks, and this was reported yesterday by The Athletic, Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers, and Baker Mayfield have intensified because of, you know, Mike Evans re-signing. After that Mike Evans re-signing, it's gotten him fired up to the point where I need to come back long term as well. So to the top two priorities were returning Mike Evans and returning Baker Mayfield. So Baker Mayfield may very well be on his way back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There were rumors that the Patriots were interested in both Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield. Both of them were uninterested in going to the New England Patriots, but they are very well interested in playing for Tampa Bay and, you know, sticking around for the Buccaneers. So talks have intensified. We'll have more updates on Baker Mayfield as soon as we get them. Finally, here in free agency, let's talk about this before we go on and move on to the NFL Combine and before we move on to, you know, the latest on the NFL draft here on this episode. Let's talk about Russell Wilson and Denver. A lot of rumors about the relationship between Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, and a lot of rumors going on around, about everything going on, you know, with both of them, right? So about the Broncos and Russell Wilson, everything. News broke Tuesday Monday that the Broncos will be releasing Russell Wilson next Wednesday. It's all come to a head. And now, report by Adam Schefter from ESPN, that Russell Wilson is allowed to talk to teams, before next week. So if he can come up with a solution to get traded instead of them releasing them into free agency, that could do it too. The reason why they're doing that is because it could potentially, I mean, it's going to, it could save them money maybe. Releasing Russell Wilson, the Broncos will have to owe Russell Wilson $85 million. That is a cap space hit for the Broncos. The Broncos will have only $34.6 million of cap space left because of that deal with Russell Wilson. Big, big contract there. Big contract thing there with Russell Wilson. Let me go on and tell you something about Russell Wilson before we, you know, move on to the combine results and the NFL draft. Let's talk about Russell Wilson for a little bit. Let's talk about everything there. Let's just unpack it. It started 2 years ago, and it started when he got to Denver. Seattle traded Russell Wilson, and the Broncos did trade an arm and a leg for Russell Wilson. They traded an arm and a leg, which includes Drew Lock and Noah Fant, along with a bunch of draft picks. So Russell Wilson goes to the Broncos, you know, as he would say or used to say, Broncos country, let's ride. He was pumped up, ready to go. Nathaniel Hackett was the head coach of the Denver Broncos. They only won about three games that season, maybe even four games. Not a very good year for Nathaniel Hackett, and it wasn't looking promising future-wise either. But Russell Wilson's season, the last couple of years of Seattle, his performance did dip. I'm not going to lie. He did dip. But when you look at him in Denver, it dipped a lot under Nathaniel Hackett. It wasn't working out, so Nathaniel Hackett, you know, they fired Nathaniel Hackett, and they were in talks to bring Sean Payton out of retirement for coaching to hire them as their next head coach. So the Broncos did just that, hired Sean Payton as their head coach. A lot of problems started to ensue between Russell Wilson and Sean Payton, to the point where, okay, you know, you had your own parking space in the practice facility. Now it's going to be, and you had your own personal trainers with you and coaches. Now you're going to get trained by the Broncos coaches. You're going to have a parking spot just like the Broncos rest of the team does at the practice facility. You are with the team. You're not your own person. You're going to be with the team, which I get that. I agree with that, right? So Russell Wilson complied to those rules. He was ready to play for the Broncos. He was excited about the Sean Payton hiring. They had not a good start to the season. They ended up rising for the top. Well, a couple of good upsets along with the Bills, the Chiefs. They beat the Texans. They had a lot of good and solid wins middle of the season. We were honestly talking about, were the Broncos really going to make the playoffs, make the AFC playoffs or not? We were wondering about that. But Russell Wilson, after holiday weekend rolled around, they played the Lions, and the Lions ended up beating them pretty bad. Sean Payton was yelling at Russell Wilson on the sideline, and it just went downhill from there. The Broncos lost the last few games, did not make the playoffs, got eliminated from playoff contention, and it kind of dipped after their midseason high, which I was kind of super shocked about the Broncos. I was like, who knew, really? Who knew what was going to happen with the Denver Broncos? A lot of reports came out that Russell Wilson said in a podcast interview with former NFL wide receiver Brandon Marshall about what happened, you know, while he was there, about, you know, contract-wise and about what's been going on with the contract, you know, situation there. And if he didn't take his injury guarantee, right, if he didn't waive his injury guarantee on his contract, they were going to bench him. You cannot do that. You cannot do that at all if you're the Broncos. So part of me was looking back on it as, yes, a lot of it could have been Russell Wilson. But when you think about it also, a lot of it could have been the Denver Broncos. And let me tell you why. The Denver Broncos did not really give Russell Wilson a fair chance. They really didn't. Think about it. He didn't have a fair chance in his first season there. He didn't have a lot of weapons. He had his weapons utilized. He had Cortland Sutton. He had Jerry Jeudy. but he didn't have, he had KJ Hamlin. He had a lot of guys there, but he didn't have, you know, he didn't have the right coaching system with him to support him, to back him. They were always on him each and every game. Same thing this year. He had some talent around him, but he did not have the coaching system to back him up and to give him complete confidence in running this running the offense of this team. Did not have any confidence in him whatsoever. They were always on him. They were always dogging him. If they won, it wasn't because of Russell Wilson. If they lost, it was all on Russell Wilson. A lot of things that happened there were not Russell Wilson's fault. If y'all didn't know, if y'all didn't look at the numbers last season, Russell Wilson statistically was up there with Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes, midseason. A lot of people didn't know that. Reason why, it was because of the team that he was on. I think that a lot of what happened was on Denver. I just hope that if they draft a quarterback for the Broncos, if they draft a quarterback for the 2024 season and beyond, right? That he is treated with respect and treated right. And I hope wherever Russell Wilson goes, he's treated right and with respect. Update on Russell Wilson. He is, the Pittsburgh Steelers are not interested in him. Pittsburgh Steelers are also not interested in Justin Fields. They're not interested in Mayfield or not interested in Kirk Cousins. So they are dead set on Kenny Pickett at this moment. But that was my little Justin Fields update there. But for Russell Wilson, it may be a cold market right now. He said he is willing to take a veteran's minimum, a discount, to play anywhere. He wants to play for a team that has a potential of winning it, being on a contender team. But a lot of contender teams already have starting quarterbacks. So it's like, it's one of those things where I can see the Vikings being interested. The Vikings going after Russell Wilson, that could be one of those things where, hey, he could actually play for him, and that could be very interesting there. So let's see what happens with Russell Wilson. It's kind of a sad and interesting situation going on in Denver. I just wish that it would have turned out better, because I like Russell Wilson. I think at one point he was at the top of his game. Do I think his performances have dipped a little bit? Absolutely. But I think Russell Wilson should have been treated a lot better and a lot more fairly in Denver. Denver has got it rough. They're in a division where Andy Reid is their head coach. They're facing Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the league, every single year. You got a solid team in the Chargers ahead of them with Justin Herbert, and now Jim Harbaugh is there at coach. And you don't know, the wild card in that division is the Raiders, because let's see what Antonio Pierce is going to do and what he's going to cook up during the offseason before the 2024 season hits. So Denver just needs to treat whoever is their next starting quarterback a lot better and have a lot more faith and trust in him. So that's my update on Russell Wilson. That's my update on Denver. One big thing real quick before we move on to the NFL Combine was Justin Fields. I mentioned Justin Fields. The Bears are looking at waiting on the top free agent quarterbacks to sign during free agency before they trade Justin Fields. It's just a saga that's continuing. Again, I still don't think the Bears need a quarterback. I think Justin Fields is their guy, but that's just my honest thoughts, but they are waiting on trading Justin Fields until after some of the top quarterbacks sign with some of these teams. So don't know why they're doing that, but oh well. I guess I don't want to throw a wrench into a lot of plans just yet, but that's my update on a lot of what's going on in free agency before next week. I'm pretty sure we'll have a lot more updates, and a lot of teams and a lot of players will sign with teams before, you know, next Thursday's episode of Pigskin Frenzy. So that we'll have more on free agency next Thursday, and we'll talk about the new league year next Thursday. Let's go on to the NFL Combine and then talk about the NFL Draft. Let's talk about the Combine and some of these results, because let me go on and tell you something, man. It was an interesting Combine, especially at the wide receiver spot. And one thing that caught my eye was there was a lot of guys that worked out, a lot of guys that didn't work out. And Roma Dunsey, the top wide receiver in this draft, did work. He did work out. He worked out, and he ended up, you know, he ended up with some good numbers. Some good numbers. He was very impressive in his interviews. A lot of players or a lot of scouts and a lot of teams were very impressed with Roma Dunsey. Smart receiver, a very good technical receiver, and he was, you know, catching passes from his college teammate, Michael Penix Jr., and he was, you know, he had a really good combine. For the receiver spot, the best combine that I saw was Xavier Worthy, Texas wide receiver. In my top five of receiver prospects, we'll get into that. We'll get into Xavier Worthy. My top five receiver prospects are, to me, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison. This is in order. Number one, Malik Nabers. I thought he had a better season than Marvin Harrison, so that puts him, in my opinion, number one. No, number two, I know this is not what a lot of other people think. They all have Marvin Harrison ahead of Malik Nabers. This is just me. I tweeted this out on X. Go and like it and comment on it if you want to. Malik Nabers at one, Marvin Harrison at two, Roma Dunsey at three, Keon Coleman at four, and I have I think I had Brian Thomas at five, if I'm not mistaken. Brian Thomas at five. I had Xavier Worthy at five. Xavier Worthy at five. And rightfully so. I think Xavier Worthy has entered the conversation after the combine. He was my favorite to watch during the combine. Brian Thomas was an honorable mention, along with Johnny Wilson from Florida State. So Xavier Worthy, 4.21. He broke John Ross, the third's record of the NFL combine, of the fastest 40-yard dash in combine history. Xavier Worthy had a excellent combine, and he is a receiver that a lot of scouts are looking at now and thinking, we could draft him. We could really draft him. He had a great year at Texas last season during their playoff run. He could be a good receiver for us in the 2024 season. So Xavier Worthy did really, really well. The second receiver following the 40-yard dash behind him, who was the second fastest, was Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. Had a heck of a season with LSU last season on offense. Led the league in touchdowns. He looked really, really good last season. And Brian Thomas was an excellent, excellent guy at the combine. He played really, he was really, really good at the combine. Three, four, and five, was A.D. Mitchell from Texas. 4.34. Tez Walker from North Carolina was fourth with 4.36, and five to round out the top five was Jacob Cowling, wide receiver from Arizona, 4.38. Some underrated receivers in this draft, and this receiver class is loaded, when it comes to the 40-yard dash. When it comes to, for the dash, for quarterbacks, when you look at the fastest quarterbacks that ran the dash, Caden Slovis from BYU, he was impressive. He looked good throwing the ball. Spencer Rattler, he threw the ball as well. He looked good during the combine as well. Two guys that stood out quarterback-wise in the combine was J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr. Michael Penix Jr. is trending towards a first-round draft pick. And to me, he was already a first-round draft pick. But J.J. McCarthy, he looked really good, and so did Michael Penix Jr. They both looked really, really good. He launched it tremendously. Another quarterback that looked good, who will be in my opinion, a second round draft pick or even a third round, probably hopefully a second round, is Joe Milton III from Tennessee. He looked really, really good. Joe Milton launched the ball when they were doing throwing drills. He threw at the combine, and he looked really, really good airing the ball out. There's a lot of quarterbacks in this class that you can pick up. Joe Milton, who I just named, Spencer Rattler's in this, Caden Slovitz, you got Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, and of course, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams at the top there. Those guys did not work out, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams, but they all impressed in their interviews. A lot of them were impressed in their interviews. The one thing that I did not understand at the combine, quarterback-wise, was with Caleb Williams and the medical record situation. He says he's willing to give the medical records out to teams that he is in contact with and that he is meeting, but he is not willing to give out to all 32 teams. I found that interesting, especially he's one of the first players in the combine to do that. honestly. So I think it's quite interesting there of the moves and that what happened during the combine. So some loaded quarterback prospects during the combine, some loaded receivers prospects during the combine, some loaded offensive linemen during the combine. When you look at some of the guys here, and I look at them on notes, you look at Roger Rosegarten, offensive tackle from Washington. He ran a 4.92. You got Tanner Bortolini. He ran a 4.94. Frank Crum from Wyoming, he ran a 4.94. Tylen Grable from UCF ran a 4.95. Brandon Coleman from TCU. That risks rounds up the top five, ran a 4.99. These guys are insane. I mean, and then you got guys who ran just as well, like Christian Jones from Texas, Joe Alt from Notre Dame. You know, you got a lot of fast offensive linemen. Talis Fuaga with a 5.13. Troy Fawatanu from Washington. A lot of guys who were O linemen in this class ran really, really well and were really, really fast. And a lot of drills that they did were quite impressive at the combine. There's a lot of impressive offensive linemen in this class. A lot of guys at the combine who did really, really well on the offensive line of things. And Joe Alt was quite impressive. In my book, he's a solid athlete up front, and he is going to be probably, he will be the second, if not the first, offensive lineman taken off the draft board round one. He is a solid lineman from Notre Dame, and Notre Dame just produces a lot of offensive linemen that are just solid in this league. But the offensive lineman this year looks loaded as well as the wide receivers and the quarterbacks. That just names a few. Terry and Arnold looked really, really good on the defensive side of things. Along with Edgerrin Cooper, he looked really, really good. He impressed me the most in a lot of the drills. I liked him as a linebacker. Dallas Turner looked really, really good from Alabama, linebacker out of Bama. He looked really, really good on the defensive side of things. And Braden Frisk, defensive lineman from Florida State, looked tremendously good. He was a really, really he ran a really, really fast 40-yard dash at the combine. So a lot of these guys at the combine looked really, really impressive. A lot of talent coming out of this combine, and a lot of them we didn't even see yet because we're going to wait till the NFL pro days. So the NFL pro days for these colleges, they begin in the next couple of weeks. They start, I think some of them start next week. Some of them have already begun. Some of them have started next week. And we're going to get into that. We're going to get into the pro days next week and within the next couple of weeks as we continue our NFL draft coverage. Some update, that was some of the combine results and some of the, results that I've gotten from the NFL combine. Again, next year we'll cover the combine again for the 2025 NFL combine, but the combine's wrapped up and our coverage for the combine's wrapped up now. But it was cool to watch, and it was cool to see, and cool to see everything shape up, and gives you a leg up on where everybody stands within the draft class coming up in April. But the latest on the draft before we wrap up Pigskin Frenzy and head on out is nothing's really too big besides what's happening in the quarterback slots of what's going on in the draft. Mainly talking quarterbacks here. Before we conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy here in the draft prospects. So, Michael Penix, like I said, is trending up after a great combine. He looked really, really good throwing the football, and he passed his medical exams. He has a history of injuries, a couple of torn ACLs, shoulder injury as well. He has had a few injuries that he has, overcome, but he has passed the medical exam, and he looked really, really good in the combine. Jaden Daniels looked really, really good in his interviews. He is clearly the number two draft pick in the NFL, in the NFL draft this coming up April, and a lot of people are saying the same thing I'm saying. Caleb Williams is number one. They really, really like Caleb Williams at the number one spot. Besides the medical exam thing, they didn't really understand that. But Jaden, a lot of them were impressed with Jaden Daniels. A lot of them were saying why is he not the number one pick? A lot of people were thinking Jaden Daniels is one and two with Caleb Williams there at the top of the quarterback spot. They were really impressed with Drake May. He showed out during the interviews. Not as impressive, like they said, like as impressive as a Jaden Daniels or a Caleb Williams, but he was up there nonetheless too. He is a top, you know, top 10 prospect in the draft as well. So Drake May there. Another one who threw the ball well was Bo Nix. Bo Nix had a not-so-good Senior Bowl, but came off of a bounce back with an impressive NFL combine performance. And he is, you know, a lot of teams are talking about Bo Nix, especially the Arizona Cardinals. I've been hearing a lot about the Cardinals. They are not ready to get rid of Kyler Murray just yet, but they are looking at Bo Nix as a backup option for, you know, behind Kyler Murray in Arizona. So I think that's really good there. I think that when you look at everything with Bo Nix, you know, just trying to get him there and trying to get him, you know, trying to get him developed more as an NFL quarterback. He has a pro day coming up. Let's see what he does there. But Bo Nix was quite impressive. Some of the guys whose draft stock kind of went, you know, I wouldn't say down a little bit if you want to talk about non-quarterbacks here for a second, but I think there's some guys who did who I think are a little bit down, but not too much down. Spencer Rattler did good, but in some areas he needed to improve on. Caden Slovitz needed to improve on some areas, but he was good in the 40-yard dash. That's just the quarterbacks. If you want to talk about guys like on the defensive side of things, I think Dallas Turner did well, but he was really, really impressive, and I thought he was really, really impressive, but I think a lot of guys have jumped him in certain areas. So, like Adrian Cooper, he jumped him. I think Adrian Cooper honestly jumped Dallas Turner in a lot of areas. So, I think if we're going to talk about draft stock going down, but not too much, but going down, I think those guys are some of the guys you look at whose draft stock went down a little bit, but not too much. Guys who's gone up, Michael Penix, Joe Milton's went up, in my opinion. J.J. McCarthy, his has gone up. They're comparing him to Jaden Daniels. I don't know what's going on there, but a lot of guys, if you want to talk about quarterbacks, went up. For running backs, Blake Corum's went up. Trey Benson's went up. I mean, there's a lot of guys at the running back level who's went up as well. So if you want to talk about offensive linemen who's went up, Ryan Rosegarden from Washington, his draft stock went up after after what happened, you know, at the combine. He ran an impressive 40-yard dash. He was quite impressive. He blocked really well, ran the drills well. He looked really impressive and is ready to be an NFL lineman. One more before we conclude. Obviously, the clear winner here, Xavier Worthy, his draft stock went up tremendously after running and breaking the record of John Ross's combine record of the 40-yard dash of a 4.21. He looked fast. He looked ready to go. He caught footballs really well. Xavier Worthy was really, really good at the combine. He was my big winner from the combine this year and how impressive he looked. His draft stock's gone up, and he could have hopped maybe a couple of spaces on the board for wide receivers in this year's 2024 NFL draft. That is the latest on the top prospects of the 2024 NFL draft. And guys, we're out of time here on Pigskin Frenzy. A big thank you today for this Thursday for taking some time out of your Thursday afternoon to just sit back and watch and listen to some NFL coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. X, Instagram, and Facebook, all you have to do is type in Pigskin Frenzy, follow, like the pages there. You'll get episode updates. You will get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You'll get Instagram trivia question stories. Go and answer today's NFL one, as well as all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. A big thank you to our partners here at the Beard Club for supporting us and partnering up with Pigskin Frenzy. Go and shop there to meet all your facial hair and grooming needs met. Men, you're not going to be disappointed. Guys, again, big thank you again. We will be back Tuesday for a college football edition of Pigskin Frenzy. We will be continuing our list of Pigskin Frenzy's top 50 games of the 2023 college football season with 20 through 11. 20 through 11 of the top 50 games of the 2023 college football season, Pigskin Frenzy's edition. So until Tuesday, I'm Joel Norris signing off. We will see you then for another edition of Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, for everybody out there, stay the course.